This is District Sentinel Radio, the newscast of record for the left and home of the worst tweet tournament. I'm Sam Sachs.
I'm Sam Knight.
We're in the Harper's A Good Girl Studios in Washington, D.C. Check out the website, districtsentinel.com. Hello, intern Nate. Make it quick.
Hey, what's up?
We got baseball opening day. We're going to try and get through this newscast as fast as possible. But we do have to get to the bracket news. Action ended in the Kekistan and Never Trumpland regions in the worst tweet tournament, where we saw an upset, a number one seed going down. The Scaramucci posts, "How many Jews died in the Holocaust?" tweet defeated Cassandra Fairbanks's "Kofefi actually means" tweet 51-49%. It was a nail biter all the way to the end. So we've got a winner from a play-in game advancing to the finals in their region. We officially have a Cinderella team here in the Scaramucci post. Also in the bottom half of the Kekistan region, Young Khans, a football team full of troops, could beat an NFL team tweet defeating Jack Posobiec's Pubesack. Jack Pubesack's tweet about Starbucks and saying your name's Robert E. Lee. Also
harassing Starbucks workers, yeah, and being racist.
We also saw concluding action in the Never Trumpland region, where number one seed, proving to be a very strong number one seed, David Frum, advancing to the finals, defeating Jamie Kirchick.
He's got that Frum candidacy has some strong support from certain corners of Twitter.
Yeah. Frum's tweet saying that the Iraqis chose war themselves.
We can't send him to The Hague, but we can have him winning the worst tweet tournament.
And we saw another upset in the bottom half of the Never Trumpland region bracket, where Ben Shapiro defeated John Podoritz. A lot of people thought John Podoritz might win this damn thing. He goes down to the Settlements Rock tweet from Ben Shapiro.
I think we overlooked the power, the shitty power of Ben Shapiro's hashtag there. Not only the message itself, the substance of the message itself, but just how fucking lame it is to do a hashtag Settlements Rock.
Yeah, I think you're right there. Meanwhile, there's live action right now. There's four spots left in our suck-ass 16, and they're going to go to winners in the Extremely Online in the UK regions, where voting is open right now. And we're seeing some surprising early results. These might be some of the closest matches of the tournament. Early on, Paul Joseph Watson's "Neo-Thatcherism is the new punk rock" tweet is actually losing to J.K. Rowling, another play-in match winner, potential Cinderella here. J.K. Rowling's "fascism on both the left and right" tweet. And we have Louise Mensch, her tweet reporting that Bannon, it brings her no pleasure to report that Bannon's about to get the death penalty because, you know, she's pro-life. She's actually losing to Katie Hopkins, who has a really nasty tweet about giving her boyfriend really aggressive, abrasive hand jobs.
I predict the Katie Hopkins tweet is going to be in the Final Four.
That's a pretty strong prediction.
It's a very bad tweet.
I have to look at my picks, but I might have picked her to get into the Final Four as well. We'll see.
Not unlike the Ben Shapiro tweet, also an awful use of a hashtag by Katie Hopkins, because she's hashtag Roy Moore, and it's about giving teenagers handjobs. I guess she was a teenager at the time.
She claimed when she was 14, she worked her boyfriend's dick harder than a Russian works a pole.
Jesus fucking Christ, man. We didn't have to hear it again.
Look.
And somehow that justifies whatever it is fucking Roy Moore did. I think she's going to win this thing, folks.
In the Extremely Online region, another potential pick to win it all, Brand of Snarth's "I'm so fed up with white male..."
Whatever her tweet was,
the Gator Baby tweet. She's actually losing to Sadie Doyle.
Jesus.
Victory Hillary leans in the Bills tweet. Sadie Doyle, another play-in winner. We're seeing in these regions play-in winners advancing. And then we have Eric Garland just beating Justine Sacco. Expected result there. Don't sleep on Eric Garland's "time for some game theory" tweet, folks.
I may have completely botched my predictions, and my bracket is a total mess, and it looks like that, unfortunately, Paul Joseph Watson is about to crash out.
We'll see. Lots of voting. You got a lot of politicking to do, too.
I will say this. I'm just really enjoying watching this all unfold on Twitter.com, whether or not there is politicking. It's been a lot of fun to watch, and we got a lot of bad tweets left to go.
Yeah, and we'll bust out our brackets. We'll take a look at them for tomorrow's Sentinel cast. We'll break down where we are. We'll see who's winning. We'll record what we've learned so far and where we're headed now that we enter the suck-ass 16. So, that's for our Patreon subscribers on tomorrow's Sentinel cast. You can subscribe patreon.com/districtsentinel.
And please do, because if it isn't clear by now, we just have no careers left.
Yeah.
this is we're done.
Yeah, while you're there, also follow Worst Damn Tweet at Worst Damn Tweet to participate in the voting right now. But yeah, contribute to our Patreon, patreon.com/districtsentinel. $5 a month gets you access to bonus content. It also gets you a haiku that we're about to read on the show today.
This is for Eric. Alas, poor Eric. Same name as the oaf Trump son. Don Jr. worse, though.
Thank you, Eric. This one is for D. Do you have a boat? Are you, by chance, a captain? Fast food seafood man?
Thank you, D. I don't quite get that, to be honest.
You must be unfamiliar with the seafood fast food restaurant chain, Captain D's.
I am.
You're not much of a seafood fan, so I understand.
No, but the name Captain D is strong pretty name. Funny. I think I would remember the name Captain D and possibly even buy the shirt. This is for Jeremy. I have nostalgia for the science class egg drop, but not Eli Lake.
Thank you, Jeremy. Thanks to all our new subscribers, patreon.com/districtsentinel. Going to get to the newscast here in one moment. Just want to remind everybody, we've got a live show coming up 4/20, April 20th in Washington, D.C., Northwest D.C. in Petworth. Once you buy the ticket, you'll know exactly where it's being held. But it's going to be a very special show, a show unlike anything we've ever done before. Spend the weed holiday with the two Sams. Get your tickets right now. SquareUp.com/store/DistrictSentinel. $42, but it's all inclusive on the weed holiday.
You get a free gift. You know, you get some free gifts.
Our lawyers have advised us not to go into too much detail, but it'll be worth it. Get your tickets. We only have a limited amount of tickets, small amount of space. SquareUp.com/store/DistrictSentinel. It's Thursday, March 29th, 2018. Here's the news.
Did he go to Jared? That's what a handful of House Democrats are asking federal law enforcement. Yesterday, six Dem reps wrote FBI Director Christopher Wray asking for an investigation into Jared Kushner's ties with Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince of Saudi Arabia. The letter, which was released today, cites a report published last week by The Intercept. That article by Alex Emmons, Ryan Grimm, and Clayton Swisher said Kushner handed over to Prince Salman the names of disloyal Saudi royal family members. This was during a visit to Saudi Arabia, 1 month before Salman imprisoned dozens of elites at the Ritz-Carlton in Riyadh. 17 of the detainees were likely tortured inside that makeshift luxury prison, and one died from abusive treatment. That's according to the New York Times. So now Dem reps are asking the feds to investigate whether or not Kushner illegally leaked classified information to the Saudis. When he was asked by The Intercept, the president's son-in-law strongly denied the allegations, though it should be noted the White House referred the publication to Kushner's personal attorney, Abby Lowell. For more on this, I highly recommend the latest episode of The Intercept's podcast, Intercepted. Graham and Emmons discussed their reporting with Jeremy Scahill.
In other Saudi Arabia news, on Wednesday, a federal judge rejected the kingdom's motion to throw out a series of lawsuits from the families of 9/11 victims. Those lawsuits accuse Saudi Arabia of playing a role in the 9/11 terror attacks, financially or otherwise, and they seek billions of dollars in damages. Saudi Arabia, of course, denies these allegations, but U.S. District Judge George Daniels said the plaintiffs had put forward a reasonable basis for their claims. It's important to note here that these lawsuits wouldn't have been possible just a few years ago. They were legalized by the Justice Against Sponsors of Terrorism Act, or JASTA, which passed over an Obama veto back in 2016. I think I can speak for all the Sentinel crew and say that I am very much looking forward to the discovery process here.
There is a loophole in JASTA in which can't the
Secretary of
State, which
yeah.
there currently isn't one formally, but they can stop a lawsuit if they
certify
to a judge that it's being worked out in other ways. So it'll be interesting to see if who knows if he's going to actually be confirmed, Mike Pompeo, but whoever's in that role, if they do a solid for Saudi Arabia at some point.
I can tell you that part of the discovery process has basically already come out in the 28 pages that were released in 2016. And pretty damning stuff.
Might soon be harder for ship posters to visit the U.S. The State Department submitted plans to the Federal Register seeking public comment on a new application for all visa applicants, both immigrant and non-immigrant applicants. That's roughly 15 million people a year. Among the new requests on the application, visa applicants are going to have the option to provide any social media identifiers they've used over the last 5 years.
Yeah, sure, DHS. Just have all my fucking alt accounts. I'll voluntarily
give
that up.
Well, SamKnight1, SamKnight_1, which came about after you were kicked off because of SamKnight1. Well, it's a long story, officer. These applicants will also be asked about any telephone numbers, email addresses they've used over the last 5 years. Some diplomatic visa applicants won't have to answer these questions, but this will apply to people trying to come to the U.S. on business, on education, on vacation. Public comment on the rule lasts for 60 days. Probably won't matter much, as we've seen with this administration and other rules they've submitted to public comment, like the net neutrality rule, where we saw an overwhelming number of people say don't. Kill net neutrality, and yet they went ahead and did it. Also, look for this to have pretty bad results for people who live in the U.S. who want to travel to other countries when they start asking for our social media information.
Oh, yeah, you can be sure they're going to retaliate. But as you noted, this is all voluntary. I see this mostly being harmful in that some prankster is going to come in and say, oh, yeah, my account is at Real Donald Trump or something. And they'll be like, oh, you just lied to a federal official and be a huge dick about it.
This was floated during the Obama administration as well. And I remember that officials were pretty dodgy. And so far, we haven't seen any clarity from the Trump administration. They say it's optional, but they haven't said whether or not declining to fill it out will affect the decision on whether or not you get your visa.
Finally, President Trump spoke in Ohio today, where he made noteworthy comments on the U.S. military's presence in Syria. We're knocking the hell out of ISIS, he said, unsurprisingly. Then, quote, we'll be coming out of Syria, like, very soon. Let the other people take care of it now. You may recall that Secretary of State Rex Tillerson...
Trump the dove.
You'll recall that Secretary of State Rex Tillerson said the U.S. might stay in Syria indefinitely to fight Iran. Perhaps this comment by Trump is somewhat reassuring for those looking for just any shred of hope after John Bolton was named National Security Advisor. Less reassuringly, our broken brain president also used his speech to claim that his anti-immigration policies are proving wildly popular. Take a listen to this.
Even look at Roseanne. I called her yesterday. Look at her ratings. Look at her ratings. I got a call from Mark Burnett. He did The Apprentice. He's a great guy. He said, Donald, I called just to say hello and to tell you, did you see Roseanne's ratings? I said, Mark, how big were they? They were unbelievable. Over 18 million people. And it was about us.
Wow.
Well, I was not one of the viewers.
I watched a little bit of it and it was pretty awful, to be honest.
So. I mean, if it was about us, I mean, Roseanne, the main character, would have just been rage tweeting racism on the couch.
Aren't you blocked by Roseanne?
Sam Knight 1 was blocked by Roseanne. Sam Knight _ONE. Not yet, but give it time. Also, he notice how he didn't comment on the show itself. Just the ratings are good enough. I feel like a lot of people definitely just watched the Roseanne premiere just out of pure curiosity. We'll see how those numbers hold up.
I don't think they're gonna last.
Yeah, just like the stock market. We'll see how that boasting holds up. I'm sure if Roseanne gets canceled, all the MSNBC hosts will just be playing that one clip over and over again, just to own him on his hypocrisy or whatever. Anyway, I'm gonna stop talking now and hand it back over to Sam Sachs.
And that is the newscast. I'm gonna hand it to the listener rant line.
Hey Sam, Nate. I had a pretty terrifying dream last night about John Bolton being president. So if that ever comes to pass, I was wondering if the Sentinel boys could come through and just fucking kill me. Thanks. Bye.
Well, we'll probably be dead too, so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bad news, he pretty much is president at this point.
How about, we'll kill you if you kill us.
Deal. All right, one more caller here.
Ba with the ba. My name is Kid Joe Biden. You know me, the youngest senator, the vice president without a cause. I'm calling to apologize for the recent schoolyard tomfoolery with our president, the disagreeable and uncivil deal maker. Well, I have a deal for you, Mr. 45. Join me in the moshing pit. For now is the time to get in the pit and try, really try to love someone. I mean it, guys. A ding a ding dingy.
Wow, so much going on there in that call. If Kid Donald Trump wants to respond to the fighting words, call the rant line 202-684-6108. Sponsors of the show include the Congressional Dish podcast, hosted by Jen Briney. Find it at congressionaldish.com. Another sponsor, levelnews.org. Subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher. Tune in by searching for District Sentinel Radio. Give us a review. Give us a rating. Tell your friends to listen. The newscast returns Monday. Patreon subscribers, you'll hear from us tomorrow on Friday for the Sentinel cast. We're in D.C., so you don't have to be.